Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 22nd, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Lenten blessings to you. It's an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well, and I pray that our time together will be refreshing for you, that it will encourage you in this season of Lent. We're blessed with a wonderful telling of the story of the resurrection of Lazarus today as our reading. And so let's just begin together and do what we do around here on the podcast, that we begin in a spirit of thanksgiving, and we start that moment together by taking a big, deep breath. Take in that breath and let it go. And take in another one. And as you breathe, as you hold this breath, do more than just hold it. Savor it. Name it for the gift that it is. It is the gift of life. Let it go. And a third time, take in a big, deep breath. And now, as you hold this breath, as you savor this breath and celebrate the life that it gives, call to mind the things that bring you great joy, the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that light you up inside. People that are in your life now or people you've known, opportunities you've had or opportunities that are coming. All of these good things, name them, picture them in your mind. Open your hands wide, extend your arms, turn your face toward the sky, and give thanks to God for all of it. It's all a gift. And in this spirit of celebration, the heart filled with thanksgiving, let us begin together in worship.
Call to worship. When hope seems buried and the stone feels too heavy to move, Jesus calls us to come out into the light. When grief surrounds us and tears fall freely, Jesus stands beside us and weeps with us. When we believe death and despair have the final word, Jesus calls life forth from the tomb. Lazarus, come out, Christ cries, calling new life where we expect only endings. We come to worship the one who is the resurrection and the life. Come, let us worship the God who brings life out of death. We come with hope, ready to hear Christ's call and follow. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from John 11, verses 1 through 45. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him.
Let's take a moment to pray together. Gracious and merciful God, giver of life, we call out to you and we pray and we give you thanks. We thank you for the gift of this, your good and living word, a word that teaches us, challenges us, inspires us. And we pray that you meet us here in this moment, that you bring us to a place of stillness and peace, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction so that we could truly hear your voice and come to believe. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, on this fifth Sunday in Lent, we are blessed with this beautiful story in John's Gospel, the story of the resurrection of Lazarus, the story of Jesus present in the midst of grief and suffering, and how faith and new hope can come even in the midst of despair. It's a beautiful story. It's a story that perhaps can be hard to listen to sometimes because I think many of us have been in this position. This place where Mary and Martha find themselves, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, a family. Lazarus lives with his sisters, Mary and Martha, in this little town of Bethany, which is a couple of miles from Jerusalem. But Lazarus has fallen ill. He's really sick. They've tried the known remedies, the anointing herbs and perhaps some chicken soup, but he's not getting better. He's very, very ill, and they are quite concerned that this illness will lead to death. And so they hit a moment in their home caregiving where they know they need special help. They know that if anyone can help this situation, it is Jesus. But Jesus is not in town. He isn't in Bethany right now. They had heard perhaps that he had done some teaching and gotten himself in trouble in Jerusalem, as he often did. And this particular encounter was pretty intense. You can read about it in chapter 10. So they had to get out of town, and Jesus and the disciples are off somewhere else. Jesus teaching them, perhaps reviewing with them the meaning of what had transpired in Jerusalem. So as they're gathered, they get word. Mary and Martha had sent the others. Where is Jesus? We need him. Somebody go find him. Tell him what's going on with Lazarus. And he can come. And if anyone can figure this out, it is Jesus. So those messengers are sent. They find Jesus and the others. And they tell Jesus of the gravity of the situation. And Jesus receives the news with a calm determination. And he says, just be still. The illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. And so he stayed there. Even though he loves Mary and Martha so much, he stays put because something more is happening. So they stay there for 2 days. And then he says to them, let's go to Judea again. Now, the disciples, having experienced being chased out of town and Jesus nearly being killed, think this is maybe not a great idea. He says, sure you want to go back there? The Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again. And Jesus says, yes, now is the time. The light is shining on this moment. Right? If we hide, the mission isn't accomplished. We will go there in the light of truth and walk toward him. You have to understand this. Our friend Lazarus, what he has will not lead to death. He's only asleep. And they take him at his word. If he's only asleep, then he's going to be fine. He'll wake up. And Jesus, realizing he needs to be direct, he tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas is taking this all in. He knows the danger, the personal danger of returning to Jerusalem. He also sees the resolve. He's seen this look in Jesus' eyes before. His mind is made up. They're going. And his disciple, he wants to go with them, even if it means they have to die with him. And so they go. And Jesus arrived and found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Mary gets word that Jesus is in town. She runs to meet him. She tells them. Rabbi, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know you. I've seen you. Surely there is something. Even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And like so many times, she takes him at his word. I understand that he will rise again. He will rise again according to our faith. He'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus, calmly and firmly looking her square in the eyes, says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Martha, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming to save the world. And she's convicted by what she's just said. And she runs back to the house where Mary is sitting and weeping, and there are members of the congregation who are there weeping with her. She told her privately, Mary, the teacher is here and is calling you. That quickens Mary's spirit, and she bolts up and runs. And when the others see her run, they go to run after her. They're assuming that maybe she's running to Lazarus' tomb to weep there. So they follow her. But she's just going to the place where Mary or where Martha had been talking with Jesus. And when Mary gets to Jesus, she does what Mary does. Remember, this is the Mary that anointed Jesus' feet with oil, wiped his feet with her hair. And in a similar action, she just collapses at Jesus' feet. And she has to be honest with what's on her heart. And she says, just like her sister, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus sees his dear Mary weeping. And all the Jews, that is to say, the members of her congregation who came with her, also weeping, and he was greatly disturbed in his spirit and deeply moved. He feels her pain. And so he asks her, where have you laid him? They said to him, come and see. And looking around him, none of this is lost on the humanity of our Lord. these people who he loves dearly. And he's brought to tears. Jesus began to weep. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, once again, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Where was he? Why did this have to happen?" Then Jesus, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave. Pay attention to this language. With Resurrection Sunday coming up in a couple weeks, think about that. Hold those images in your mind as we come to verse 38. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already this stench of death is in the air. It's been 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" He's preparing her. "Open your eyes, Martha. I know you believe. I know you believe. You will see the glory of God." So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, to them, "Unbind him, let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what Jesus did, believed him. For us to put ourselves among that crowd, within that congregation of family and friends, to clarify a little bit, the word Jews is used interchangeably. Sometimes the Jews is shorthand for the scribes and the Pharisees and the authorities that are aligned against Jesus. And in the case of the crowd gathered in support of Mary and Martha, I kind of tend to translate in my head as the congregation, the people they went to synagogue with. All of these people are Jews. Jesus himself. So this crowd of people of the story, the people of the covenant, the people who believe in the resurrection on the last day, they have seen something and are wrestling with it. For some, they can get beyond the sight of their eyes and their need to explain by some earthly measure as to what has happened. And others, this is enough. He is the Messiah. He is the author of life. He is the one that can cast out the shadow of death. We will believe. We will follow. We will abide with him. We will seek to be like him. We will do what he says. This moment will change our lives now and forever. And he gives them work to do. He has cast off the spirit of death, but theirs is to unbind him from it. It's a powerful story. And if you continue on in the gospel, when the power of God moves so mightily through this person of Jesus, some come to believe, others still scratch their head, and still others This power is so overwhelming. This power changes everything. They don't want everything to change, so they will seek to drive it out from them, even if they have to try to kill it. But what about Mary and Martha and Lazarus? They got the miracle, but the miracle was delayed. A promise of an eternal kind of life. The resurrection at the end of history on the last day. But there's still the working and the paying and the living and the dying. 2 weeks ago, the woman at the well, she still will have to go back and find water, but she is now filled with living water. The man born blind can now see, but he still needs to navigate the world around him. But he sees the world in a different way. He is filled with hope and light, the power of the resurrected Christ. Infuses his spirit, informs the way he sees the world. And now Mary and Martha and Lazarus, already in deep relationship with Jesus, have their faith affirmed. And what about us? What are you facing right now? And I suppose I'm speaking directly to someone who is facing a challenge similar to Mary and Martha. Maybe that's someone in your life that is gravely ill or afflicted with some challenge or addiction that does not seem to be able to be broken. And you wonder where Jesus is. You call out for him and you tell some friends to call out for Jesus, find out where he is, tell him what's going on. And you know that when we pray, the Lord hears us. But he doesn't show up right away. At least not in some way that seems so visible like this. And maybe he's delayed 2 days or 4 days. Or maybe it seems years since you first put the word out and you're reminded that he has heard you. John writes this story for all of those circumstances so that we might drink of the living water, that we would be reminded that there is so much more to life. The life that was breathed into us at our birth. There is so much more. John states the purpose for his gospel in the 20th chapter, and I'm going to find my way to it so I can just read it in the words of this translation. At the end of the 20th chapter in verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. That is why Jesus prays publicly to his God. That is why Jesus, before he performs the miracle, draws the attention of Martha and the others to what is about to happen. Yes, it's a beautiful and wonderful thing to celebrate their brother brought back to life. Yes, the healing we seek, the relationship mended, the business brought back to profitability, the circumstance that you face that seems like it won't be fixed. And when it's not fixed the way we call for, that is, can be crippling. But Jesus calls us to the more excellent and higher way, to give us new eyes to see the situation, new people in our lives to walk alongside us, so that divine healing can come, and it will come. I don't have a ribbon to put on this text, but the Gospel of John is a gift and an inspiration that Jesus came and he moved in multiple and mysterious and glorious ways, always pointing to the one he called Father, so that we would know the truth. That when we feel as if we're surrounded by nothing but darkness, there is a great light, a hope that cannot be defined by our circumstances, a peace that passes understanding, and that we would lean into it, that we would be like Mary and we would fall at his knees, love him and anoint his feet, and simply in that action find wholeness and hopefulness. Because resurrection is coming. Even if it is that you're walking the valley of the shadow of death, in Christ's presence, you can truly fear no evil because God is with you. Right here and right now and forever. Deep and unshakable good news, to which we can say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you, and we pray to you, and we humble ourselves before you, and we confess, God, that there are times when we have chosen our own way. Times when we felt that in your delay that you had forgotten about us. That we've heard other voices that even challenge your very existence. But we come before you in all faith and in all humility and in all confession of sin. You know exactly who we are. We pour out our hearts before you. We ask for your forgiveness. And we claim the promise of our faith that we come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts. You do not despise us. You do not reject us. You love us. So we claim that love and that healing and forgiving grace right now. With renewed hope, we offer you our prayers. God, we pray over this, your good world. Stop the violence. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Dry the tears of those who grieve. Heal the sick. Open blind eyes. Unstop the deaf ears. Wrap your arms around us. Break the spell that seems to have been cast on people in positions of power. Lift up bold leaders who can speak truth and walk in the light of day. In your name. So that you would be glorified and that the world would be healed. We pray over friends and neighbors and the folks we stand in line behind at the grocery store. You know all of their stories. They are all beloved children. Help us to see them that way and interact with them in that way. And you know those things that are most intimate to us. You know the Lazaruses in our lives, the people we pray over. In fact, that might be us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Because when you are here, we are brought back to life. But you know the faces and the names and the situations that we pray over. Some of us write these down on lists. Some of us keep that list in our hearts. But we take this moment, God, to share this list with you. To quietly and humbly turn it over to you. And sit silently so that we might hear your voice and feel your presence. We break our silence. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we thank you for the rites and the rituals and the songs and the prayers of our faith. Among the prayers is this prayer that we receive as an inheritance, a prayer you taught your first disciples. We pray, Lord, that you'd hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, may we do so with our faith renewed, that even in moments when God's love seems withheld, God's love seems to be delayed, God is with us. God is for us. God is ahead of us, pulling us toward himself. To a time of eternal peace and glory. Our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.